Amen. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Just want to say thanks to Pastor Thompson and the family of Christ that's out here that's willing to have me out. I know I'm a young guy, but I really enjoy preaching. I enjoy just speaking the Word of God to people and telling it like it is. And I'm afraid that in our country today, there's a lot of people who just don't want to tell it like it is. And I don't think we should fear those around us. And so let's go ahead and focus on verse 3 of our text, where the Bible says, "Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days," notice this word, "scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is your Jesus?" they say. All right. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." So the Bible's saying here that they're willingly ignorant of one fact, and that's the flood. They're also obviously willingly ignorant in verse 4 of the creation and of Jesus. They say, well, where is the promise of his coming? You know, it's just amazing to me how somebody can be so irrational and so illogical. And notice how it says they're scoffers. And so I want to go ahead. The Bible says the Lord will mock them. So here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take a look at what atheists believe. And I'm going to prove to you tonight that what they believe is not anything different from any other false religion in the world. They believe the same thing that any other false religion believes. They say, well, if there is a God, you know, he'll let me into heaven because, you know, it's based on my works. And I lead a good life. I've never done anything that's deserving of hellfire, although they've broken pretty much all the Ten Commandments. And they couldn't even tell you what one of the commandments are. You know, oh, if there is a God, he'd let me in. Well, does the Bible say that? They say, oh, well, your God's the spaghetti monster. Does somebody want to show me a spaghetti monster in this text? Because you won't find it. The Bible says God is a spirit. So when they say, oh, it's a spaghetti monster, look, if a spaghetti monster walked in here, I'd feel pretty good about that. I like spaghetti. It's tasty. Tastes good. It's good food. You know, I would love to believe in the spaghetti monster, but I know he doesn't exist. But I know the God who does exist and the God that they have to answer to someday. It's amazing to me how they define themselves. So let's talk about the definition of atheism. So atheists, what they define themselves as is somebody that lacks belief. They say, well, we don't have any beliefs. Well, is that your belief that you don't have a belief? Logic with me. The Bible says, they say, don't you believe in reason? Yeah, the Bible says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Of course I believe in reason. And it's amazing to me. The dictionary definition, they say, well, we don't have any beliefs. The dictionary definition of atheism is the belief that there is no God. We don't have any belief. Well, wait a minute. Every dictionary, here's another dictionary, the belief that God does not exist. The doctrine that there is no God. So when they try to imagine up this fake definition of what they did. And here's the thing. They define themselves by what they don't believe in. What if I said, well, I'm going to define myself as somebody that doesn't like to go fishing. What kind of sense does that make? I define myself as a Christian, and what that means is I believe in Jesus. They define themselves as, oh, well, I'm a non-believer in Jesus. What kind of definition is that? That's wild. Now, this isn't just like, you know, and Richard Dawkins says, well, you know, religion is just mental illness. It's it poisons the mind. Well, it's amazing to me. Is that why 99% of school shootings are done by atheists?
Yeah, that's right. Good.
But yet Christians have their minds poisoned, yet Christians have never committed such an act. Why is it that if you say that Christians have their minds poisoned, why is it then they turn around and say, oh, well, you know, you guys, religion's so dangerous to the public, yet atheists lead the world in suicide? They make the dumbest decisions possible. I'm sorry, suicide, I don't care where you are, I don't care who you are, suicide's not a good idea, it's a sin. God said not to do it. Now, we know Saul did it, and we know Saul's with the Lord, but you know what, if you're a Christian here tonight, and you're struggling with that, or you have problems in your life, look to Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be overtaken with such a terrible thought. You know, and if a prophet in the Bible could commit an act like that, that tells me that anybody could commit that. Don't let yourself get down to that point. And you know what? They lead the world in suicide, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, and school shootings. And yet Richard Dawkins wants me and everybody in this room to believe that religion is what poisons the mind. Yet the atheists do the most mind-poisoning, dumb things that you could possibly even do.
Right.
It makes no sense.
Yep.
So they define themselves by what they don't believe in, number one. Let's talk about the Big Bang Theory. So obviously, I believe in creation. They believe in something that's known as evolution. Now, everybody's heard of evolution, right? And evolution basically teaches that it all started with an explosion. Let's pretend for a second that evolution is true. They say, well, nothing caused an explosion. What if I said nothing caused something over here to explode? You'd say, well, what caused the explosion? Was there some type of igniter? Was there some type of detonator that started this thing? If I turn around and said, nothing caused it, you'd look at me like I was crazy. And by the way, people think that evolution is science. It didn't win in the science laboratory. It won in the courts. Because the American court system said, we got to push this thing in the schools so that people, and even J.D. Rockefeller said, I want to create a generation of people that can't think. He's like, I want to create a, he said, I want to create a people that can't think. And excuse me, I'm having a hard time thinking tonight. And he says, I want to create a generation of workers instead. So people that can't think and that can only work. Blue collar. And there's nothing wrong with being a blue collar worker. You know, that there's nothing wrong with that. And so anyway, so let's just enter into fantasy land here for a minute with the atheists, because that's what it is. It's yep. Fantasy.
Amen.
Let's enter into fantasy land and let's just pretend that nothing caused the explosion. Let's just pretend for a second. Well, what exploded? They say, well, before the Big Bang, there was nothing, absolutely nothing. And then just this infinitesimal amount of space just exploded and created time, space, and matter. There you go, boys and girls. So nothing causes nothing to explode. Does that make any sense to anybody in here? It brings a whole new meaning to the verse where the Bible says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And let me tell you something. You know, if you think that I'm crazy, then why don't you just go join one of these little reason rallies and tell everybody how you can be a free thinker, you know, and join these guys. But you know what? I'm going to stand on the truth.
Amen.
I'm sick of people not standing on the truth of the Word of God and compromising and saying, well, you know, what are they going to think of me if I don't believe in evolution? Look, who cares what they think?
Amen.
Just because the majority believes something doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
Just because the majority of the people in the days of old thought that the earth was flat, and that even people now, Christians, doesn't mean it's true.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's true, folks. And evolution is the only theory that's protected by law. And let me ask you something. If your theory has to be protected by law, what does that tell you about your theory?
Right.
It can't undergo any scrutiny. They say, well, why are you speaking against it? Look, my tax dollars go to that stuff.
Yeah.
I better have a say in it because I'm paying for it to begin with.
Yeah.
Everybody in here has to pay for it. This is becoming the land of the slave here in America. They're not going to take away free speech from Christians. And you know what? If they just threw one of us in jail, if they threw Pastor Thompson in jail or myself in jail, you know what? We'd just grow that much more. Because every single time Christians were persecuted in the Bible, they just grew that much more. So let's pretend for a minute. Let's go back to fantasy land. Nothing caused nothing to explode. Well, we have planets that are in a perfect orbit. And Stephen Hawking even said, and I quote, he said that if the expansion rate would have changed out of one part, out of 100,000 million million, the universe wouldn't exist. Everything would be out of place. So who here thinks that one out of 100,000 million million chances could happen by chance? Okay, let's talk about proteins. The simplest protein in the world. That coming into being by chance, if you put all the elements together, is 10 to the 164th power. Who here thinks that 10 to the 164th power could happen by chance? Trillions of times over, right? Because there's trillions of proteins. Isn't that wild? They say, well, there's still a chance. There's still a chance that evolution could be true. I'm going to lean towards the 10 to the 164th power and the crazy wild chances. Well, Stephen Hawking said, and I quote, he said, we're a mathematical impossibility. Impossible. Do you know what the definition of impossible is? A miracle. So atheists literally believe in miracles. I was talking to one time. He goes, well, you know, I can't believe the Bible because your God made an animal talk. And I said, well, aren't we all animals according to evolution? So you believe in 7.8 billion talking animals. 7.8 billion of us here on earth, and the Bible only mentions two. You say, well, that still didn't answer the question. Okay, well, if God created the world from nothing, do you think it would be rocket science for him to take something that he designed and make it speak? The Bible says that the rocks will cry out to God if we don't lift up our voices and praise him. I better get back on track here. I feel like I'm making too much sense tonight. Let me slow down. All right, so this one atheist responded to me recently. He's like, there's no logic at all into believing that one day God just magically poofed us into existence. Isn't that what the Big Bang teaches? Yeah. It was a poof. Yeah. So let me ask you, because they say, well, you Christians believe in magic. Okay, what's magical? Somebody creating the universe or matter and energy creating itself from nothing? They're hypocrites, folks. They don't have a leg to stand on. And you know what? You say, well, why do you get so worked up about this? You know what? Because all my friends down at the pub, well, not my friends, you know, I would love to befriend them and help them get saved, but all these people over at the public fool system are getting lied to, all these people in my demographic, and it bothers me. Yeah. It bothers me. Amen. I can't stand it. They say, well, the flood's a myth, you know, the creationism's a myth. Even Bill Nye himself said, you know, creationism is in itself, in and of itself, silly. And he says, you know what, your worldview becomes so fantastically complicated, boys and girls, when you don't believe in evolution. What part of believing that you came from an ape makes your world less complicated? Will somebody please explain that to me?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? It's good to laugh tonight, amen, because he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord laughs at these people. So the Big Bang, and I want to get back on track. I got a lot to cover tonight. The Big Bang teaches that everything just went from smaller than a single proton, everything in the universe, and exploded into our known universe in a trillion trillionth of a second. They'll try and redefine it. I've pointed this out to them. I said, look, do you think an explosion out of chaos produced order, even though the second law of thermodynamics states that ordered things can't go towards disorder? All the kids know that.
Yep.
Everything knows that things, every child pretty much out there knows that things are winding down. Sun's getting smaller, the moon's getting further away, the earth is slowing down, everything's winding down. Evolution teaches that things are getting better on their own. Just give it enough time. Just give us enough time, they say. Well, and what they try and do is they say, well, it wasn't really an explosion, Matt. It was an expansion. They try and redefine the word and apply a not so kooky word to it to make it sound like it's not. Look, if something goes from smaller than a proton to in a trillion trillionth of a second larger than our observable universe, is that not an explosion? They say, well, it was just an expansion. Well, if that's not an explosion, I don't know what is. So let's move on from the Big Bang. And you mean to tell me that 326 million trillion gallons of water that are just on Earth alone were crammed into, you can only compress water past a certain point. Yet they want to believe that all the water in the universe, just imagine, folks, I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but in my last documentary, I was talking to the atheist and he goes, you know, it takes imagination to consider all this stuff. And I said, just imagine. And I expected him to be like, oh, good one. But instead he's like, oh yeah, just imagine. Just use your imagination. So, you know, I think we should, you know, use our imagination and be creative, but science is not based on just imagination, it's based on facts. And anybody that believes that matter and energy could create itself from nothing doesn't believe in science. And that's what I want to establish here real firmly tonight, is that if you are an atheist, if you're listening to this sermon and you're an atheist, you don't believe in science.
Yep, that's right.
Period. And I'm sick of Christians saying, well, we got to compromise and we got to give in to theistic evolution and we need to get Brother Thompson to join us and Brother Powell to join us and try and win them over by being more like them. The Bible says, come ye out from among them and be separate. I don't want to be like the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, folks. These people, like, it just goes to show they don't know the Bible. So, of course, they come at us when I bring these things up to them with the blanket statements that we've all heard a million times. They'll say, well, you know, must take a lot of faith there to think that a virgin could conceive there, buddy. You know what? These people think a rock conceived. Yeah. You know, and one guy was in a debate a while ago with this guy, the raging atheist, and he goes, and I'm sure a lot of you probably know him. I feel bad for the guy. I hope he gets saved. But anyways, the guy goes, he's like, well, you know, I don't know how anybody could have enough faith to believe that, you know, a Jewish man like Jesus would resurrect from the dead. And I'm just thinking, man, you think that every living cell came to life out of non-existence and from dead material to begin with. Yeah. You believe you and I and every other life form came to life out of non-existence. I believe Jesus died and resurrected. Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and I have the power to take it again into myself. And so Jesus had that power. But to say that you believe that every living life form resurrected from non-living material, that's crazy. That's madness. That's a greater resurrection than I believe in. Look, I just believe Jesus resurrected, and I believe he'll resurrect me because whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Yeah. Right? Let me go ahead and get back on track here. Atheists will often say that, you know, life came about from non-living material, and we've already established, those of us who know any science, that the law of biogenesis states that life cannot come from non-life. So I don't care how they try to repackage it. The law of biogenesis states, the law that they don't believe of science, states that life cannot come from non-life. The law of biogenesis. And I've had them admit, well, I guess I don't believe in the law of biogenesis. Well, then do you believe in science? And I've had some of them admit and say, well, maybe not. Maybe I need to re-look at this. You know? And you know what? That this, if you're in a discussion like that with an atheist and they're like, maybe I need to relook at things, pull out the Bible. Yeah. You know, don't use man's wisdom and apologetics and you know, I'm not going to apologize for anything that I believe. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Apologetics are defense. The word of God is offense. It's a two-edged sword. They say, well, how is he winning the debates? Like, I was in a debate a while ago, and it's not hard to win these. I am not a great debater. But I like to use the Bible. And, you know, they're like, well, how is he winning the debate? Because 40% of the time he's quoting the Bible. Because the Word of God has power, folks. Yeah, that's right. No weapon formed against the Lord shall stand. So they say, well, give it enough time and anything will happen. All right, so give it enough time. Let's just pretend, I'm just going to pretend I got a pencil here and I put a dot on the page of the pulpit here. And we're all going to sit here for however long, maybe we can get into the time machine and go forward a few billion years and wait for this thing to explode. Because that's what they believe. Let's just say, oh, just give it more time. It doesn't matter if you have a billion years, a trillion years. No matter how much time you have, that little period on the page is just going to disintegrate. It's not going to, we're nothing without the Lord, folks. And you know, I'm going to disprove that using very basic logic here, because I heard a preacher say one time, put the cookies on the bottom shelf so that everybody can reach them. And you know what? I don't want to complicate a simple matter. I'd rather simplify a complicated matter. And that's why Aaron Ra and all these freaks, Richard Dawkins, and I said they're freaks, folks, they all complicate everything. They sound so smart and so complicated. A great teacher isn't somebody that just makes everything sound so complicated, so therefore he must be true, because he's using big words. You know, I could use big words too, Aaron Ra. I could talk about phylogeny and Paleozoic, Mesozoic layers and all that stuff and sound intelligent, but in reality, I might not know anything. Yeah. And the guy doesn't know anything. But let's just debunk this idea that it'll take, you know, billions of years for anything to happen. So I have here a blue hymnal and a red hymnal. Now, I'm going to put these two things right here. Now, how long? I'll give you 10 chances. Remy, I'll give you 10 chances to go ahead and grab one of these books. Now, let's pretend it's concealed, it's in a bag, so you got a 50-50 chance. How long is it going to take you to pull out a yellow hymnal? Just give it enough time, Remy. Just give it more time. Keep going. I'll give you a billion tries. I'll give you 100 trillion tries. No matter what, you're not going to come up with a yellow hymnal.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, and look, life cannot design itself. Yeah. We already established that with the law of biogenesis. I don't even know why this is a debate.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even be a debate.
Right.
It's done. Yeah. But you know what? Because people like me are being censored all the time. And being referred to as haters and just terrible hate speech from Matt Powell. How could you not believe in evolution? You know, that's child abuse, they say. You know what? You need to be able to give people the other side, folks.
Amen.
You know what? And I just want to say to the public school system, I'm sure there's some decent people in there. But you know what? If you're teaching evolution, you need to give the other side.
Amen.
Give the other side. They say, well, you guys are a cult because you exercise information control and you don't tell all your members that. Look, I can tell you guys anything about evolution and you can all walk away knowing that it's a fraud and that it's a lie. You compare the truth to darkness, you're gonna go with the truth. And the Bible says that they hated the light and would not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God, the Bible says. So they think a rock conceived. They think it's crazy to believe that an animal talked. Yet they believe we're all talking animals.
Right.
What else do they believe that we can look at? Well, let's turn over. Let's get into more Bible. So let's go ahead and go over to Romans 1:20. The Bible says in Romans 1:20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So they're without excuse, folks.
Amen.
Anybody that believes these things is without excuse. So let's talk about the dinosaurs. Pastor Thompson brought some dinosaurs here tonight. And I love dinosaurs. I've always loved dinosaurs. I've enjoyed thoroughly the Land Before Time movies. I don't know if anybody saw those back in my day, which wasn't that long ago. And you know, they say that dinosaurs died off 65 million years ago. Now, in 1990, a scientist, a paleontologist, went out looking for dinosaur bones, right? Because this paleontologist was really determined to find some dinosaur bones, which I congratulate her for doing so. Her name was Dr. Mary Schweitzer. And in 1990, she discovered a dinosaur fossil with blood inside of it. Still contained, with the hemoglobin still in the blood. Now, kids, do you think that dinosaur blood could last for 65 million years? I mean, you look outside, an animal that dies, it gets eaten by the birds and the other animals. Blood doesn't last very long, does it? So these dinosaurs had to have been big, right? Because number one, they didn't get eaten by the other creatures. And number two, we know that that one was probably buried in the flood. Let's talk about the flood for a minute. They say the flood is the biggest myth out there that creationism teaches. It's the number one death blow to creationism because we can all prove that there was never a global flood. I've heard them say that. And they'll say, well, if you can find a dinosaur and man in the same layer, then we'll believe that dinosaurs and man lived together. Well, we have. We actually have. The Ashley phosphate beds were discovered back in the late 1800s, mid-1800s, and in the late 1860s, scientists discovered dinosaur bones in the same 18-inch layer with human bones. Now, the evolutionists just said, if you find dinosaur bones with human bones in the same layer of strata, that proves that they lived at the same time, and we'll believe the flood. You bring that fact forth to them. Do they believe it? No, because a foolish man stiffeneth his neck. They're fools. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So it doesn't matter how many times you correct them, they're not going to listen. What about fossilized seashells up on the top of Mount Everest? How'd they get there? Evolutionists say, well, they were pushed up through millions of years of plate tectonics. Plate tectonic shifts put them up there. Well, let's go back to fantasy land and pretend that's true. Plate tectonic shifts do happen, yes, but the fossilized seashells that we found up there are closed. Now, when these sea creatures died, naturally they would open up. They would only die closed if they were in a flood. And so you know what that proves? If they're on the top of Mount Everest and they're closed, it proves that they were buried by a flood. And by the way, Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. So to say, well, you know, there was no global flood and these things were pushed up through billions of years of plate tectonics, well then millions of years, excuse me. You know, they always pull out the big numbers, sound like a magician, you know? And then when I pull out the numbers, they're like, hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. But the numbers, you know what? Keep pulling out the numbers because it just makes God that much greater. I mean, his creation is powerful, greater in the sense that we see him. You know, when I look at proteins and get a chance to look under microscopes and stuff and see all this, it's amazing. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Now, whole whales have been found throughout the United States on the top of mountains. Now, how do you think they got there? I wonder how. Oh, it couldn't have been a global flood. They'll say, oh, well, plate tectonics. They always go running to plate tectonics to solve all their problems. Plate tectonics pushed them up there. Look, folks, when a whale dies, what happens is it floats to the surface because whales are made of fat. They're nothing but fat. They come up to the surface, and then the birds just eat them away. The fish eat them because they mainly just have cartilage for bones, and there's nothing left. Whales don't get fossilized anymore. So if these whales died naturally and then over millions of years were pushed up the mountain, wouldn't they have been eaten by some creatures? Or wouldn't the bones have been deteriorated from the sun hitting it? It proves that there a whole whale found in the middle of mountains in Michigan, where I'm from, that there was a global flood. There's no denying it, folks. They can sit there and come up with every excuse as to why they think that, you know, the flood never happened. But let's look at what evolutionists say about, and now this is going to sound very hokey, okay? Some of the things I'm about to share with you. Now, I do not believe these things, but this is what evolutionary theory actually teaches, okay? Because squids and octopuses, they say, well, we all evolved from different animals. And Pastor Thompson will definitely talk about how we all came from a common ancestor, not a primate, but a human being, okay? And, you know, even just the thought of evolution sounds silly to me. And it would be a joke if people weren't so seriously into believing it. I was talking to a guy one time. He's like, well, you mean to tell me you don't think we're related to that grass outside? He's like, well, we have similar DNA. The grass has DNA, and we have DNA. Well, number one, then why are you walking on your ancestors? For crying out loud, get some respect for your ancestry. You know, and the rocks are your ancestors too. The rocks are the grass's ancestors. So wherever you walk, you might be walking on grandfather. Okay? Number one. And then number two, they say, well, dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. And they say grass came into being 55 million years ago. So dinosaurs never saw grass. Well, they just recently did a test this past year on dinosaur feces that they discovered. And guess what the dinosaur ate? Grass. Yet grass came into being 10 million years after? Doesn't make any sense, folks. It just, again, them coming up with these stupid objections to Jesus and to the Bible just gives themselves away. They set their sights against the Lord and against his anointed, and every time they fail. Because you know what? I'm not the only person speaking out on this stuff. We got a whole weekend of this stuff coming up here, folks. And I'm gonna make sure that the truth is plain. You know, and we're not gonna butter this thing over. All right, so they say, well, how can you think that you're not related to the grass? Well, number one, just because grass has DNA and we have DNA, that's like saying, well, aren't birds and airplanes related because they have wings? Isn't an octopus and an ink pen related because they both squirt ink? Look at the logic behind these people. It's crazy. It's literally madness, you know? So anyways, let's continue here. So now this is the hokey stuff, folks. So since they think that we all came from an amoeba that found some other amoeba to marry, of course, because you got to have two. You must have found something to eat. Slowly evolved into where we are today. Let's just grant all that. Squids and octopuses have a different genetic build than any other creature in the world. So they couldn't, scientists have come to the conclusion that they couldn't have come from any other sea creature. So here's what evolutionary theory states about how they got here. Evolution says, or evolutionists claim, it says one plausible explanation, in our view, is that the genes are likely new extraterrestrial imports to Earth. These scientists declare that, quote, the squid eggs hitched a ride to Earth on the back of asteroids. That is what evolution teaches, folks. I am not kidding. I was in an interview with a friend of mine who's got it. He's an actual creation scientist. Now, him and I don't see eye to eye on everything, but he brought this up, and I thought he was joking with me. I said, are you serious? We cut for a moment. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. This is what they teach? He said, yeah, it's what they teach. I looked it up. Sure enough, evolution teaches that they hitched a ride on the back of asteroids. Doesn't that sound fun? And they don't get along anyways. Squids and octopuses are constantly fighting each other, so I don't know how they made it here to begin with. But of course they were eggs, and the article goes on to say that they were, you know, they were fertilized. They don't know how, but they were fertilized so that they could hatch when they hit the water. Evolutionists also claim that monkeys, because monkeys had to have somehow gotten to South America from Africa. That's what evolutionary theory states, and they have a problem figuring out how. So their best conclusion that their best scientists have come up with is this idea that monkeys surfed across the ocean, across the ocean to a land anew over in South America. Now that has a lot of problems. There's tides out there. You know, they probably get blown off their surf. Who has ever seen a monkey surf? I don't even think they can. But like, this is what happens, folks, when you go into fantasy land and when you think that the world created itself from nothing, magically, I might add. Evolution won in court, not the lab. Let's always remember that. It never, and that's why they're teaching it in schools. It's not because of the lab. It's because the U.S. government said, we have to teach evolution. We have to teach it to our students. And it's the only theory protected by law, folks. Now, a lot of evolutionists will say, well, believing in God takes away from your ability to be a real human being and to think for yourself. And it degrades people, they say. Who's ever heard that? I'm sure you guys have all heard that. They'll say, it degrades your character. Live your own life. Be your own God. But let me ask you something. What gives us more? I'm just going to ask questions here tonight. Questions will get people to think. What degrades a person? If we came from billions of years of plasma in the galaxy that just exploded and somehow created us, or if a God loved us and designed us for his glory and his pleasure. God loved us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believeth. And you know what? Recently I was online listening to Pastor Thompson talk about these people that make repentance unclear. Guys, we got to stop that. There's new people that are coming into this movement, if that's what you want to call it, and coming into Christianity, and they're hearing, repent of your sins. Well, what does that even mean? Stop confusing the gospel. The Bible in John never uses the word repent one time. Yet that's the book where it says, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing on him, you might have life through his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not turn from all your sins. We aren't Mormons here, folks, but I better not get off track. I need to stay on track because we're talking about creation. It's repent of your sins, people, man. They're, and you know what? It's just about every apologist out there, and it's frustrating. It really frustrates me. You say, well, why are you angry? The Bible says be angry and sin not. So, they say, well, you know, it's so degrading to think that, you know, God created us. Okay, well, let me ask you, Mr. Atheist, is it morally acceptable to own animals? Are people animals? Think about that. Charles Darwin thought it was okay. Charles Darwin, the founder of your religion, taught that it was okay to own animals. The title of his own book is, the original title, by the way, is The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Do you know what that tells you? That he was favoring certain races.
Yeah, right.
And that's the person that they say the Bible promotes racism. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
The Bible says we're all of one blood.
Yeah.
All of us are of one blood. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're all precious in his sight.
Yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of people strawmanning the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, a bunch of goat herders wrote your book. Why are you saying that all goat herders are bad?
Yeah.
And number one, Paul wasn't a goat herder. He was a scholar. So shut your big mouth. And he wrote over half the New Testament. They say, well, I only believe in what I can see. This is where you get to, and Pastor Thompson remembers this because we interviewed quite a few of them down there at ASU. And they're like, well, it just comes down to this. I only believe what I can see. Well, have you ever seen an animal change kinds? I believe what I can see, and what I can see is that animals bring forth after their kind. That's what I can see, and I believe that. Jesus said, blessed are you who have not seen and have yet believed. So they say, well, I can only believe what I can see. Well, have you ever seen a biogenesis? Life come from non-life? Who thinks that a rock is going to start life? And number three, you know, what about the missing links? They say, well, you know, we're still looking, yet they only believe what they can see with their eyes, yet the missing links are still missing.
All right, amen.
They're like, well, I'm not sure if they're missing. Dude, that's why they're called the missing links, because they're missing. They're not there, folks. And you know what? You'll never find them. So let me tell you, Mr. Evolutionist, you can keep having faith in what you believe, which is science falsely so-called, is what the Bible calls it.
Amen.
Go ahead and turn over to 1 Timothy 6:20. 1 Timothy 6:20. The Bible says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called. So the Bible warned us before science came about that science, falsely so called, would come about and would deny the flood, which we see people do all the time. They say, and Christians will say, well, let's compromise a little bit. It was a local flood. Well, you mean to tell me that Noah's going to spend over 100 years to flee a flood that was local to his area? Why wouldn't you just get out of Dodge? And their response is, they say, well, it's just so that Noah could show all those people that God was supreme. What's it proving to those people? They're all dying.
Yeah.
It doesn't prove anything to them. It makes no sense, folks. These theistic evolutionists, Hugh Ross, everybody probably knows who he is. The guy needs to get it right. The guy needs to get it. And you know what? He'll probably never get it right because he's a false teacher. And he's making money. They say creationism is where all the money is. No, it's not. Every good creation scientist that I've ever known has lost money coming into this.
Right.
I could be a millionaire teaching evolution. I can learn to speak words a certain way or to say things how they want me to say them to make money. But you know what? The truth is more bright than darkness, and I would have to be accountable to God for that.
Right.
So I'm not going to go along with the flow. They're like, well, you're just going along with what you've been taught all your life. Look, pretty much everybody out there is secular. We're the ones that are going against the flow, folks. And you know what? People say, well, don't you have peer pressure? No, I don't have peer pressure. You know, a guy came into my job one time in my office, and he's like, man, I just got to smoke, man. He's an atheist. I just got to smoke for my friends. I'm like, why? I'm like, do you like to smoke? He's like, no, but I got to do it. There's so much peer pressure. Look, why don't I just start a peer group where we don't smoke and where we live for God? That's what I want. They say, well, why are you speaking these truths so blatantly and straightforward? Because I want people to know what the truth is. I'm sick of people being lied to. So So there are no missing links. And Stephen Gould, who's one of the top paleontologists in the world, said, and I quote, he said, "There are no missing links. The whole chain's missing." So when they say, "Well, what do the scientists say, Mr. Powell?" There's what the scientists actually say.
Right.
Science is on our side. The Bible's on our side. And you know what? I don't believe the Bible because of science. And a lot of atheists will say, "Well, you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God because the Bible says it's the Word of God." So you got a circular argument there. Look, I don't care what shape the argument is. The Bible has power. Never a man spake like this man. They say, "Well, that's not good enough." Okay, well, if truth is a real thing, which it is, they say, "Well, there is no truth." Is that true? Because if it's true that there's no truth, how can the statement be true that there is no truth? They say, "Well, I can't be sure of anything." Well, you seem sure that you're not sure of anything else. That's for sure. Mr. Agnostic. The agnostic people say, "Well, we can't have certainty." Well, you're certain of that, and that's all I know. And look, they say, "Well, you got a circular argument on your hands. How are you going to get your way out of this one?" Look, I don't have to. If the Bible's authority was dependent upon my reasoning to give it authority, then my reasoning would be the final authority, right?
Yeah.
But if the Bible is true, which it is, it should be its own authority.
Yeah, right.
I shouldn't have to defend the Bible because the Bible defends itself.
Yeah.
Never a man spake like this man.
Right.
And no matter how many times you tell these buffoons, you say, "You shouldn't call names." Jesus did. You say, "What would Jesus do?" That's what Jesus would do. They say, "Well, what about the holy wars? Religion causes so much trouble, and religion is the reason that we've had so many people die in this world, and it's just so terrible." Look, over 110 million people have died under atheistic communism here. More than the holy wars, 10 times more, at least, than religion ever thought of doing any killing. So they say religion's dangerous. Well, Adolf Hitler wasn't religious, and yet he killed them. They say Adolf Hitler was a Christian. No, Adolf Hitler said that he wanted to exterminate Christianity from the land. That's what he actually said, folks. They say, "Well, you got to do your research, Mr. Powell." No, you need to do your research. I've already done mine. I know what the sources say. They're like, "All he can do is quote scientists." Look, if you're appealing to science, shouldn't you be quoting some scientists? Shouldn't you be sharing some of the information and some of the data that they found and the processes that they brought these things about on? Drives me nuts. So, almost done, folks. Go ahead and turn over to Psalm 2. Just curious, we're still looking to see if an explosion out of chaos has ever produced life. Anybody ever see that? Still looking. Give $1 million to the first person that can say that they have. That's what they say. All right, so Psalm 2 says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us.'" You know, sometimes like it's overwhelming when you have the world attacking you. Sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. You got protesters outside the church that want to hang them high with you. Because the truth is hate to those who hate the truth.
Right.
It's too hard for them to see it. Yet they claim to believe the truth, but they don't know what truth is. Truth is what the facts are. Aaron Ra always says the truth is what the facts are. He doesn't even know what the facts are. He doesn't care. And you know what? There's a reason why he'll never show up on certain debate channels of friends of mine that defend young earth creationism, because he knows that he has nothing.
Right.
He knows he's willingly ignorant. Now, notice what the Bible says here in verse 4. It says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure." So let me tell you something. If you're leaning towards being an atheist and diving into a fantasy, I want to remind you that the Lord's wrath is going to be on your life.
Yeah, right.
I don't want the Lord's wrath on your life. I love you. You may be my brother in the flesh if you're an evolutionist, but you know what? You need to be my brother in the spirit.
Amen.
You need to get saved. Amen. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
Amen.
Saved, past tense.
Yep.
By the washing of regeneration. So, in to kind of wrap this up here, Aaron Ra made a response to me recently, and I felt that it would be appropriate to bring it up because he made a really good point, and I just felt that it would be so good to share with everybody here. He says, well, even if there was a God, it wouldn't be your God, referring to mine, or anything like it, because you worship the Bible God. Does that make any sense? Well, if there was a God, it wouldn't be your God because you worship the Bible God. That doesn't make any sense. These people are enraged against the Lord, and they all have fantasy name for themselves. They're all stuck in fantasy land, man. I'm just trying to get them to wake up and realize there's purpose to life. They make their purpose to tell everybody that there is no purpose. But you know what? As a Christian, we should tell people that there is purpose to life. God designed you to be a soul winner and to lead people to Jesus. And it drives me nuts when people fall for these people. And you know why little children fall for them? Because they use cartoons. They have fantasy names. These kids that watch these movies, it's no different than Star Trek to them, but it's like the real thing. And you know, you've got these guys that all have their fantasy name, the Godless Cranium, the Raging Atheist. You know, it's interesting. The definition of rage is out of control emotions. So when I say, oh, I'm raging, you know what you're actually saying? I'm out of control. So a lot of atheists will say, well, you know, okay, Matt, there's a God, I know it. Which they pretty much knew it all along.
Right.
It doesn't take a genius to figure out. If you have a painting, you have to have a painter.
Yeah.
If you have a building, you have to have a designer.
Amen.
They say, well, I can't see God. Do you see the people who built this building? No. Probably meet them someday if they were Christians, if they were saved. But you know what? It's amazing to me. They say, well, you know, how do you know which God it is? Well, let me tell you something. History is filled with a lot of dead options, okay? Dead messiahs. But there's only one living messiah.
Amen.
Only one. Only one came back from the dead and shook up history so much. They say, how do you have so much faith to believe the resurrection? Look, how could you have enough faith not to believe the resurrection?
That's good.
It's just not possible. It's just not possible, folks. It takes more faith not to believe it. I've always stood on that. I've always said that. It takes more faith, and yet you want to claim you don't have faith? It just is crazy to me. And that's irrational faith, what they have. They have faith in science, falsely so-called, folks. Now, there's one more thing that I wanted to cover tonight in closing. Two more things. Make them quick. This guy, Mr. Atheist is his YouTube name. And he's growing on YouTube, so I figure it's appropriate. The Bible says mark them. So that's what we're going to do tonight. This guy literally put out a video a year ago. And you say, well, it's a year later, you're still frustrated about it? Yes, I'm frustrated about it. He attacked a good friend of mine, Pastor Tommy McMurtry, and he's like, he's demanding, he's holding up a red sign, you know, this YouTube channel of Tommy McMurtry's got to stop. Tommy McMurtry is he's not the heaviest preacher out there. He's not necessarily a lightweight, but he doesn't rant like all of us other guys do, you know, which is fine. You know, there's softer, lighter, harder, more rants, less rant. It's fine. Everybody has their own style. Let everybody be persuaded in their own mind.
Yeah.
But you know what? He came out against Pastor Tommy McMurtry. And I responded back, and you know what he said? He said, well, abortion rights are in real danger with this guy around. So his right to go and murder an unborn baby is in danger. And you think that I'm not going to get frustrated about that? You think I'm not going to put up a fight? You know what? I'm going to speak for those who can't speak for themselves tonight.
Amen.
And you know what? I know of several people in this church that are expecting child. And you know what? it would be the most hateful thing to harm that baby.
Yeah.
That would be hateful. That would be selfish. Yet they claim, oh, we live in the generation of love. And I always, whenever I knock their door to try to give them the gospel, you know what they always say? They always say, well, you shouldn't push your beliefs on other people. Stay away. Well, hello, you're pushing your belief of telling me not to push my beliefs on other people onto me. That's a logical fallacy. Have you ever heard what logic is? Have you ever heard what reason is? The Bible says, all men have not faith, and that there are wicked and unreasonable men who have not faith. So the people that have not faith in Jesus, the Bible says they're wicked and they're unreasonable. And no matter how many times you bring these facts forward to them, it doesn't matter. You say, man, Brother Powell, you seem really worked up tonight. You bet I'm worked up. It's frustrating, man, to see all my people in my demographic over here at the public school system getting taught how not to think. And then when they graduate, they think they know how to think. But they know how to be told what to think. They don't know how to think for themselves. It's crazy. The last thing that I have, and I'm sure some of you have probably heard this. You know, and other Christians, you know, when I took the raging atheist guy and I debated him, if that's what you want to call it, other Christians were coming to this guy and saying, oh, Ronnie's his real name. Oh, you're so smart, Ronnie. Ronnie, we just think the world of you, Ronnie. And you're the most single, honest person we've ever met. Trying to win him over to Jesus by lying to him and pretending that he believes in science. Tell them the truth. Yeah. I told Ronnie the truth. Amen. And he rejected it. And you know what? If he continues to reject the truth, if he continues to stiffen his neck, he'll be destroyed, and that without remedy, yeah. The Bible says. Yep. Without remedy. There's for some people for whom it's too late.
Yep. Right.
I took time out of my schedule to go visit with that guy and try to help him. I saw anger in that man, and I saw hatred for me and other people, other Christians. I didn't necessarily see hatred towards God at that point, but you know what? He started hating God. He started hating the Lord, and it's a shame. Don't end up like Ronnie the Rager, the out-of-control atheist is what he should be called, because that's what his name even means, his fantasy name. Last thing I want to cover tonight. So I'm sure back in my worldly days, I used to love like Christian rock and roll. You know, and it's something I'm not proud of. Never get into Christian rock and roll, kids. Never. It's bad. Rock and roll is bad. It hurts your health. It brings you down. Even Harvard just did a study where they put rock and roll around plants and it started playing and the plants died. You want to see what it does to life? It kills life. At these rock and roll concerts, there's constantly people coming and shooting up the place. It brings out the devil in people, man. So, Hawk Nelson. Who's heard of Hawk Nelson? You probably know what's going on. So, Hawk Nelson just came out. He's one of the biggest Christian rock stars in the world. And this guy, the leader of the Hawk Nelson band, John Steingard, came out just a couple days ago as an atheist. Now, keep in mind, folks, this guy has got hundreds of thousands of listeners, little children that watch his stuff, and he's coming out and saying, oh, you know, I'm wrong about God. There is no God. Just live your life how you want to live it. Follow what feels good. Can you always trust your feelings? Absolutely not. Yes. You can't trust your feelings. It's not like a Hollywood movie where it's like, trust your feelings, Luke. This isn't Star Wars. This is reality. This is the Bible we're talking about tonight. And this is a book that is being censored in this country. And you know what? We need to defend the Word of God and stand up. So the band had some words about John Steingard, their leader, coming out as an atheist. And they said, you know, the bandmates of John Steingard wrote a statement that is supportive of their front man. They wrote, one of our best friends, one of whom we have walked and worked and lived alongside of for 20 plus years, revealed some of his innermost feelings on his faith journey this past week. God is still for John. He's still for John. The Bible says that friendship with the world is enmity with God. The Bible says, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And yet they say, oh, well, God is still for John. That's not what the Bible says. You know what? Maybe John never heard the gospel. I don't know. You know, sometimes I don't hope that, you know, I really don't hope that there's any reprobates, but there are reprobates. I'm not going to deny it. There are people who are too far gone. And you know what? It would do these people good that are questioning their faith because a singer who got up and said he's an atheist now, these people need to know what the truth is. Amen. You say, you're trying to create clickbait, Brother Powell. In a way, yes. Because I don't want them to believe the nonsense that this guy believes. Yeah, right. So, you know what? Pastor Thompson might talk more about him. And I tell you what, we'll put out some content online, and hopefully it doesn't get censored, and tell what the truth is. And direct people to sermons like Pastor Anderson's sermon and about professing themselves to be wise. We'll refer them to documentaries about serial killers and stuff like Pastor Thompson has put out. And they'll get to hear the word of God. Amen. God could use something that was evil for good here. So we need to call this out for what it is. God is not for John Steingard. He's not for that. That's not honorable to God. So that's all I've got tonight, folks. You know, if any of you guys have any questions, I can definitely feel free to ask me after the service, but it's been a blessing giving this message, and I think that we should close in a word of prayer. But before we close, we need to always remember that not every atheist out there is a reprobate. And a lot of them are, and even news articles have come out and said that atheists are the most high into the LGBTQ. They're the most high demographic, even though they only make up 3-5% of the human population. Most of them are LGBTQ. Now, obviously, those people in that community, I'm not going to witness to them. I'm not going to waste time with them. But there are some atheists out there that need to be given the benefit of the doubt. They need to hear a sermon like this that will shake their faith in the wrong thing that they have and put it in Christ. Amen. You know, and to any people that are struggling with their faith, talk to me. We live in a generation where people are just, they're not sure of anything. They don't know what the facts are. They don't know what the Bible says. The Bible says, so you can either believe one of two things here tonight, in closing. You can either believe that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, or you can believe that monkeys surfed the ocean blue to find a place anew. You can either believe that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's powerful, amen? Amen. Or you can believe that squids hitched a ride on the back of asteroids to get here to us. You have to make that choice, folks. And a wise person, an honest person, will come to the light. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for Pastor Thompson and Brother Remy and this great church that you have here, Father. I just pray that you'd help this sermon to really hit home with people, and that they would see the truth and see the light and see that the light shines brighter than darkness. Thank you for what you've done here tonight. I pray you'll bless everybody as they go their separate ways later on this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.